Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you would, turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to begin there, and then we're going to the little book of 1 John. But when you find 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, let's honor God's Word by standing. If you can, if you can't stand, just honor God's Word in your heart. First Thessalonians 1 and verse 5, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say I'm almost there. All right. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this, watch this, don't miss this. And in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Father, we come before you now as really beggars in need of bread and water. And Lord, we know spiritually where the bread and the water is. It's found in your Son and our Savior. And I pray now that His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, might have His way here in this service. God, that you would reveal truth to us, that you would inspire us and give us the courage to do what we need to do. I pray for lives to be changed. I pray, God, for assurance to fall fresh on us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. There's a lot of folks in the church today that do not have the assurance that they need of their salvation. And I just want to say to you, you'll never really be able to move on in your Christian faith. You'll never be able to be all that God wants you to be. You'll never really be able to grow spiritually as God would have you to grow until you settle this issue once and for all. I'm saved and I know it. I want to talk to you about just how to have this assurance of your faith this morning. But first I want us to go back to that first Passover in Egypt. That's a stretch for us, I know. We're going back to that first Passover in Egypt before the emancipation from Egypt, before the Israelites were going to be set free. And that night, every Israelite family was sitting down at a table, at a dinner table, for a leg of lamb. And I want you to just, in your mind's eye, just see two families side by side, next door neighbors kind of, and they're both sitting down to this meal. And the firstborn son in one family looks at his dad and he said, "Dad, is our home covered by the blood of the lamb? Have you sprinkled the blood of the lamb over the doorpost? Is the death angel coming? Are we covered?" And the father looked at the son. He said, "Son, you don't have a thing to worry about. You're safe, sound, and secure. The blood not only covers our home, it covers you. You're safe, you're secure. You can have that assurance." And I mean, that firstborn son ate like there was no tomorrow. And then he went to bed and slept like a baby. But now the other family, right next door, that firstborn son's got the same kind of questions about the death angel that's coming over their house that night. And he said, "Dad, did you kill that lamb? Did you sprinkle the blood over the doorpost of the home? Is the death angel coming over us tonight? Are we going to be okay?" And more specifically, he said, "Are we under the blood? Am I under the blood?" And that Hebrew father told his firstborn son, he said, "Son, you don't have anything to worry about. We have killed the lamb. We've sprinkled the blood over the doorpost. And when the death angel comes out over our house, you're under the blood and so are we. You're going to be saved. You're going to be fine. But you know what that little boy, that firstborn, said? He couldn't eat that night. And he went to bed all tore up and had a sleepless night. Now the death angel passed over both of those homes that night. And both of those firstborn sons were saved because their household was under the blood of the Lamb. But one had assurance and the other did not. Can I just tell you this morning that God wants you to have the assurance of your salvation. If you have been saved, God wants you to have that assurance. And there's a lot of scripture verses that would point that out. I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 says that be diligent to make your call and election sure. Hebrews 10 and verse 22 says, let us draw near with full assurance of faith. Hebrews 6:11 says, show the full assurance of hope until the end. God desires that His children might have that assurance of their salvation. And I want to tell you, we're sure this morning because of the blood. And we're saved this morning because of the blood. And we are sure because of the book. I believe in the book and the blood this morning. That's our blessed hope. Now, God has given us a little book, an entire little book called 1 John. If you'd make your way, we're going to be the rest of the service. We're going to be in this little book of 1 John. 1 John is a book of assurance. God wants you to have that assurance of your salvation. And it may be one reason that you don't have that assurance is you've never truly been born again. And you're going to understand that today. So there's something here for everybody. You say, well, Pastor, I've got the assurance of my salvation. I know that I'm saved. Well, bless God, you've got some family members, you've got some neighbors, you've got some co-workers that need that assurance, and you'll be able to share these verses with them this week. Somebody shout, amen. Amen. So are y'all with me today? We're over in 1 John. Now, there's some mile markers. Isn't that good? Second mile, turn. Okay. There's some mile markers on the highway of salvation. Some signposts that will give us the assurance that we need of our salvation. And you could even call this a fourfold test that you can take this morning to come to an understanding of your salvation, whether you have it or not. Are you ready? You know what? God blesses folks who come with an anticipation of getting a word from God. Did you come expectantly this morning? Did you come looking to hear from heaven? Are you here this morning anticipating a word from God? Yeah. All right. Let's get it, okay? Here's the first part of the test. Something I call the scripture test, all right? This is the first mile marker on the way down the highway of salvation. The scripture test. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10. Excuse me, chapter 2 and verse 3. Chapter 2 and verse 3. Now by this we... What? K-N-O-W? No. By this we know that we... K-N-O-W him. Have you got that? If we keep His commandments. Now, jump over to chapter 5 and look at these two verses. I ran across these earlier this morning and I wanted to share those with you. Look at chapter 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do what? Keep His commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we what? Keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. And so the scripture test basically is this. Do you love God's Word? If you're a believer, you should have the desire somewhere deep down in your heart for the Scriptures. You should want to be in the Scriptures. Do you read your Bible? Do you love your Bible? You can't hardly separate the written Word from the living Word. I'm not talking about worshiping a book. I'm talking about worshiping the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. Do you love God's Word? Do you read God's Word? How many of y'all remember the very first love letter you ever got? Remember that? For some of us, that's been 100 years ago. But you remember that first love letter you got? Did you open it up, read a couple sentences, and then do this? No. What'd you do? You pull that thing out, and man, your heart's beating an extra step, you know, just extra beat. And you're reading once, pull it out, read it again. You've read it a third time. And then after lunch, you're reading it a fourth time. And then that afternoon, you're even reading between the lines. Right? Well, the Bible is God's love letter to us. Man, it has wonderful treasure house of truth in it. And so, let me ask you this again. Do you love God's Word? Do you have the desire in your heart to love God's Word and to obey God's Word? When you read it, you know, sometimes a mom and a dad will ask their child to do something. And I remember Dad asking me to do something one time I really didn't want to do, and he prefaced it by saying this, "Son, do you love me?" I said, "Yeah, Dad, I love you." And he said, "Well, I've got something I want you to do." And he wanted me to build a sandbox out back and to haul all this sand that he dumped across the yard and put the sand in the backyard. And I said, "Dad, you know I love you, but that's going to be a hard job." He said, "Do you love me?" Well, to make a long story short, I wanted to please my dad. And so I went and did what he wanted me to do. And that's how we show God, by the way, how we love Him. What, by being obedient to the Word of God, to obey the commandments. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm just asking, is it the desire of your heart to want to obey the Scriptures? Do you have it in your spirit to want to please God by obeying the Word of God? If you can say yes, that's a good mile marker. Look at Psalm 119 real quick. And let me give you some more scripture here. Psalm 119. If you don't want to go there, I'll get it for you. Psalm 119. Right in the middle of your Bible, verse 24. Psalm 119:24 says, "Your testimonies," and the psalmist here is talking about the Word of God, the Old Testament Scriptures. He says, "Your testimonies also are my," what? "Delight and my counselors." The Word of God has what we need. Now jump over to verse 101 in the same chapter. Psalm 119:101. The psalmist said, "I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may do," what? "Keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Look at verse 133. "Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me." So again, we're back to the question, do you obey God's Word? Is it the desire of your heart to do what God wants you to do? When you have a commandment, do you obey that commandment? I'm not talking about perfection. None of us are perfect. We mess up from time to time and disregard a commandment or disobey a commandment. But overall, do you have the desire in your heart to be obedient to the Scriptures? If you're answering yes, that's a good sign. That's the Scripture test. Look at the sin test. The sin test. This is the second mile marker. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. "Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither known, has neither seen him or known him. Now, what that verse is talking about is not perfection. It's not even a pattern. If you're a believer, what he's saying, that you, when you sin, man, it tears you all to pieces. Look at 1 John chapter 1. If we say, verse 10, 1 John 1, 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So of course, from time to time, we're going to sin. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Somebody shout glory. And he himself is the propitiation. That word there means the mercy seat for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus today? Amen. I mean, his blood made it possible for all our sins to be washed away. So what do I do when I sin? The most worn out verse in my Bible is chapter 1, verse 9. Anybody know what that says? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so here's what I want to get to. Here's what I want to ask you about the sin test. When you sin, do you feel nasty, dirty, ashamed, embarrassed? Let me tell you, if you're a believer, you can't get by with sin. God the Father didn't let God the Son get by with our sin. What makes us think we can? You cannot sin and continue to stay in sin and enjoy it. Now, a lost person leaps into sin and loves it, but a saved person kind of lapses into sin from time to time and loathes it. You see, we have the Spirit of the Lord in us, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus in us. He dwells within us. But bless God, we've got that old sin nature in there too. It hasn't become completely eradicated. Y'all stop looking at me so spiritual-like. From time to time, we're going to sin. And when we do, it bothers us greatly. We feel nasty, dirty. We feel unclean. We feel just kind of ashamed. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Y'all got me? Oh, that's a sign that you may be saved, because Christians, believers, followers of Christ cannot continue to stay in sin and be okay, because the Holy Spirit's in here, you see, and there's a battle going on. That's the sin test. How you doing so far? Do you love and obey the Scriptures? Does sin bother you when you fall into it? And bless God, I like the fact I've got a lawyer who stands on my behalf from time to time. Jesus, you know, Satan will accuse you and he'll say, Bethany, a Christian just doesn't do that. You can't be saved. How many of y'all have heard the devil tell y'all that before? I mean, he's good at it. You know why? He's a liar. And so sometimes old Satan will head to the throne room and he'll say, well, Father, as your Sunday school teacher, Billy Walker, did you hear what he just said to his sweet wife, Carol? I mean, it's back to hell Billy goes. And our advocate, the Lord Jesus, rises in our defense and says all of Billy's sins are under the blood. Somebody give a Baptist shout up in here this morning. Hallelujah. There's the sin test. Let's look at the saint test. S-A-I-N-T. Okay? Now, look at 3 John again, verse 14. The saint test. We know that we have passed from death to life. In other words, John, we know, how many times have we heard K-N-O-W? I've had people tell me, you can't know that you're saved. Oh, really? There's a whole book in the Bible that was written so we might know that we've been born again. He says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And then John makes it even more plain over there in chapter 4 and verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. When you got saved, when you became a believer, a follower of Christ, you got a brand spanking new family. Well, I don't like her. You don't have that option. You got to love her. I know. To live above with the saints we love, oh, that'll be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, well, that's another story. I get all that. There are some people that are easier to love than others. You know, every church has some EGRs. EGRs. Y'all know what those are? Extra grace required. But you know what? God will give you the grace to love somebody who's unlovable. Are you finding that out? And so, this third test, this third mile marker on the highway of salvation is, do you love the family of God? Do you love your brothers and sisters? You know, how many of you have Facebook and you get those memories every day from former Facebook posts and things? Well, Friday, August the 3rd, we celebrated, it's been 4 years Friday since I'd baptized my boy, Isaac James. And man, I got to looking at those pictures. And my whole family was in Waynesboro that day. And we were celebrating his salvation and his baptism. And so I clicked on, you know, the baptism part. And I remember these words, Isaac. I said, Isaac, upon your profession of faith, it is my privilege to baptize you, my son, and now my brother. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're family. And you know, it's not that we have to come when the family gets together. It's that we get to meet together. We're family. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we love it. Jesus said, they'll know whether or not you love me by the way you love one another. We've got to love each other. We were over at Summit Heights the other day, and I was witnessing to a guy named Charles who was in his 20s. And he made this statement, and we were kind of off back, set in the parking lot there. And he was just looking at all of our people, and he said, y'all really do love each other, don't you? And I said, well, this bunch does anyways. I'm terrible, I know. You listen to your pastor this morning. Listen to the preacher. There's nothing like the family of God. And we're going to be together forever and ever. God doesn't have any grandchildren. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. If you're saved. You know, this garbage I hear in Clarksville just about every time I open my mouth about Jesus. Well, I don't believe you got to come to church to worship God. That's the goofiest thing I've ever heard. That's like saying I believe in soap, but I'm not going to take a bath. You ought to want to be with the family of God. And when's the family of God together? We do fellowship together. We do meals together. We do worship together. We pray together. We witness to our community. Everything we do together. We're the family of God. Grab somebody's hand next to you. I don't like him. Now let's all stand. Come across the aisles and grab a hand. Isaac, you grab Grandmama's hand over here. And now we're going to say, that's right, grab his hand. He won't bite, I promise. And now let's sing together. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the cleansed by His blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. Amen. Sit down now that y'all have got cooties. All right. How'd you do on the saint test? Do you love your brother? Do you love your sister? Yeah. How you doing so far? Final thing is the Savior test. Woo! The Savior test. Look at chapter 4, verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. The only reason that we love God is because He took three steps towards us first. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. You didn't go looking for God. God found you. That's what Romans 3 tells us. And I thank God that He found me when I was lost in sin. I was undone. And the Lord Jesus reached down with a long, long arm of salvation and pulled me out of that miry pit of sin and set my feet on the solid rock, the rock of ages. And I want to tell you, fill me with His Spirit. And now I'm one of His children. Hallelujah. How could I not love Him? Do you love the Lord? I'm talking about not giving Him lip service. Are you loving the Lord with your lifestyle? People ought to know whether you're born again or not by the way that you love the Lord. And the way you show that you love the Lord is by the way you love other people. Well, I'm not a people person. I hear that all the time. Preachers, you can't surprise me with anything. I've heard it all. But my question to you today is, do you really love the Lord? And I'm not talking about giving Him lip service. Does your lifestyle point to the fact that you really do love Him? Does your behavior line up with what you say you believe? By the way, He's the only one that can help you day in and day out. Loving people. Because the more people you've got, the more problems you got. That's just the way it is. Do you love the Lord? You remember old Simon Peter? Man, he denied that he even knew the Lord three times. And the last time they asked him, he called down curses. I won't get into that. But you remember when Simon Peter saw Jesus up on the shores of the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection. He's up there cooking breakfast. And who's the first one out of the boat to get to Jesus? Simon Peter. You can say what you want to about Simon Peter, but he loved Jesus. Jesus asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Simon Peter, do you love me? And the third time, when Jesus said, do you really love me? Simon Peter said, Lord, You know that I love You. Do you love the Lord this morning? There was another family in Egypt on Passover night. They were living up in the palace. And Pharaoh's little boy said, Daddy, do we need to go kill a lamb and sprinkle the blood over the palace doors? Are we going to be safe tonight when this death angel comes over our house, our palace? Are we going to be okay? And Pharaoh looked at his boy and he said, Son, We don't need the blood of a lamb to cover the palace. He said, those Hebrews are crazy. You don't need the blood of a lamb. Your daddy is the Pharaoh of Egypt. You can eat a good meal tonight and go to bed happy. And that's exactly what that boy did. And he never woke up. Do you have the assurance of your salvation this morning? Do you? Or have you still got doubts? Friend, having heard what you've heard this morning, if you've still got doubts, it's probably one of two things. You got sin in your life. You're backslidden, or you're lost. Because if you can't answer yes to all those questions, those 4 mile markers of salvation, you probably need to be saved this morning. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about, is it the pattern of your life? Do you have the desire to obey the Word of God? Do you have issues when you sin? Do you love God's people? And do you love the Lord Jesus with all of your heart? If you can't say yes to all four of those things, friend, there ain't enough demons in hell that would keep me from the Lord Jesus this morning. And I'm going to share with you how you can receive Him this morning. And others of you are here, and you know you're saved. Now you know. And you need to go share with somebody. It was like that little boy in Goshen. And like that little boy in Pharaoh's palace. Bow your head, would you? How many of you are going to be courageous enough and brave enough to say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I know I'm following Jesus. I'm not perfect, but the desire of my heart is to love the Lord and please God. And I love God's people. If that's the desire of your heart, would you just throw your hand up in the air? I know I'm saved. I know that I've been born again. Hands way up. Hands way up. All right. Put them down. If you're here this morning, you don't have that assurance. Let's drive a spiritual stake down right here today. Let's believe God's Word. And God's Word says, if you'll repent of your sin and place your faith in Christ Jesus and Him alone to save you from your sin, right now, today, the King of Glory will come into your heart and life, forgive you of all your sin, save your soul, set you free, and you can leave here with the assurance that you've been born again. If you'll pray something like this, I just want to help you pray. Right where you're sitting this morning. Lord, you're not sure about your salvation. Pray this, pray a prayer like this. Lord, I've heard your word this morning. And I need that assurance. And I believe that Jesus paid for all my sin with his own blood. I believe that with all my heart. So that I could be forgiven of my sin. And I know he's alive this morning. Right now, as best I understand the pastor, I just surrender control of my life to him. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Change me. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. I'm turning everything that I am over to everything that you are. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.